Case Closed, Crime Stories from the Golden Age of Radio. Welcome back to Case Closed, back this Wednesday with another 60 minutes of old-time radio crime stories. Here first this week from Casey, crime photographer, and Photo of the Dead, their episode from July 24th, 1947. Then it's Nightbeat and Vincent and the Painter. That episode first aired June 19th, 1950.
The Anchor Hawking Glass Corporation brings you Crime Photographer.
You know, Ethelbert, you and I have a good chance to be famous.
How's that, Casey?
Well, I figure if a man's known by the company he keeps...
Yeah?
Then he ought to be known by the company that keeps him.
That makes sense.
And the company that keeps us is...
Anchor Hawking, the most famous name in glass. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Tony Marvin. Every week at this time, the Anchor Hawking Glass Corporation of Lancaster, Ohio, and its more than 10,000 employees bring you another adventure of Casey, crime photographer, ace cameraman who covers the crime news of a great city. Written by Alonzo Dean Cole, our adventure for tonight, Photo of the Dead. O'clock in the evening, the big, untidy photographer's room of the Morning Express. The door opens, and Ann Williams.
Gosh, it's hot, Casey. Let's go over to the Blue Note.
Oh, Annie, I'd like to get out of this joint for a while, but Dad Phelan phoned about half an hour ago and said he wanted to see me. He's making a special trip down here.
Dad Phelan?
Sure, you met him. He runs a little stationery and cigar store
uptown. Oh, yes, of course. He lost his wife last year.
That's
he went
right.
to her funeral.
Yeah, Aunt Maggie, her name was.
Well, what does he want to see you about?
Well, he said he wanted my advice about something. What? He didn't say... Well, there he is now. Hi, Dad.
Oh, Casey, my boy.
Hey, it's good to see you, Dad.
It's always good to see you.
You remember Annie Williams,
don't you? Oh, of course. How are you, Miss Williams?
Just fine, Mr. Phelan.
Now, sit down, Dad.
Thanks. I've got something to tell you, boy.
Oh, what's on your mind?
Casey, I've heard from Maggie. She's come back to me from the dead.
Mr. Phelan.
I've heard her voice, and she sent me her picture from the other world.
Her picture.
Boy, you know that after Maggie died, well, we'd been together for nearly 50 years, and I didn't know what to do with myself.
I know.
So I started to read books that told how the dead sometimes are able to communicate with the living.
Books on psychic phenomena?
Yes, Miss Williams. There's a bookshop on 12th Street, Jameson, that has a lot of those books.
Yeah, I've passed it.
Yeah, very nice lady runs it. I went in there a lot. We got acquainted, and... One day she told me about a man. Man with remarkable powers.
So you went to him?
Yeah. And last Thursday night, a week ago, boy, Maggie spoke to me while I was there.
What did this man charge you?
He wouldn't take a penny.
Huh?
Here, Casey. Look at this picture. You see what had happened? Above my right shoulder.
Well, there's a ghostly face of a woman, Casey.
Yeah.
And it's Maggie's face. You recognize it, boy.
Yes, yes.
Casey... This picture couldn't have been made by a trick, could it? Maggie was really with me last night, wasn't she?
Yes, sure she was with you, Dad.
The photo's not a fake? You'd know.
No, it's not a fake.
Oh, so glad to hear you say that.
Casey.
Hold it, Annie. Say, Dad, what's the name of this man who took this shot?
Well, it's kind of a funny name. Fader Narsi. He's an East Indian fella.
He's one of those swamis, huh?
He's a fine man.
Oh, I'm sure of that. Where does he live?
Well, he has a big house on Rankin Avenue, 142. Why?
Well, I just wondered. Oh, excuse me, Dad.
Yeah.
Hello, Casey speaking. Yeah. Okay, Burke, I'll be right up. That was City Desk calling, Dad. I'm sorry, I've got to rush upstairs.
Go right ahead, boy. I'll be going. Anyway, you've told me what I wanted to know, and... You've made me very happy.
Well, I'm very glad.
Good night, Miss Williams.
Good night, Mr. Phelan.
Good night to you, boy. And a million thanks.
Good night, Dad.
Casey, that photograph can't be on the level.
Of course it isn't. It's a crude double exposure. That ghost face was taken from an old picture of Aunt Maggie that this Feda Narcy fella got hold of somewhere.
Well, why didn't you tell the old man that?
Oh, Annie, how could I? Dad wants to believe that this thing's on the level. He's happy tonight for the first time since his wife died. But, Annie, after I finish whatever assignment Burke has for me upstairs, I'm going to pay an unsocial call on Swami Feda Narcy. Oh, hey, Burke, what do you mean? You're sending me out of town tonight?
That's what I said, Casey. I just had our Detroit correspondent on the phone. He tells me a honey of a murder broke out there. You may be gone 2 weeks, maybe a month.
And I'm not going.
Casey's on this job alone, Williams. You stay here. Now, take this to the cashier and get your expense money,
oh.
Casey. Your train leaves in 45 minutes.
Burke, I ought to see a guy tonight.
Here. You can't. Get going, Casey. I want pictures from Detroit tomorrow.
Okay. Well, Dad Phelan's been looking after himself for over 70 years. I guess he can do it without my help a few weeks longer.
Hello.
Miss Williams?
Yes.
This is long distance. I have your call through to Detroit.
Oh, thank you.
Go ahead, please.
Hello?
Hello, Casey.
Annie, gee, it's great to hear your voice. Anyway, what's up?
Look, something's happened that we think you ought to know about.
What?
I'm at police headquarters with Captain Logan. A few hours ago, your friend, Dad Phelan, was found dead.
Dad Phelan?
Yes, Casey. And Captain Logan thinks that Swami Feda Narcy was responsible for his death.
Come on, Logan, let's have a dope on it.
Al Phelan didn't open his store this morning, Casey. A cop on the beat got worried, broke in, and found your friend dead in the back room.
He just died in his sleep, huh?
Yeah. I talked to Miss Williams after she phoned you, Casey, and we pieced the thing together. Beside the old man's body was that spirit photograph of him and his wife. And in his pocket, we found a bank book that had apparently represented his life savings. Balance was only $21, but until 4 days after Miss Williams says he called on you at the Express, the balance had been $6,021.
The fake Swami got the $6,000.
Yeah. The shock of losing his life savings and learning that the Swami was a fake was too much for him.
The Swami gave him the usual routine.
Yeah, racketeers of his type are all alike. After the victim is convinced he's in contact with the dead, he gets a spook message telling him to hand over some money, usually for an investment the ghost recommends. The dough is passed over in cash, and we cops can't do a thing.
Logan, that Swami killed that old man just as surely as though he'd stuck a gun at his head and pulled the trigger.
I know it, but he's not a murderer in the eyes of the law. We can't even prove him a thief.
Well, you question him?
Naturally. He denied everything.
Well, Logan, I'll talk to Swami Feda Narcy.
It won't get you anywhere.
Well, I'll see you later.
Now, what are you going to do?
Well, from what you say, there's only one thing I can do. Beat that guy to a pulp.
Good afternoon.
Are you Feda Narcy?
No, sir.
Oh, just a servant, eh?
Yes,
well, sir. I want to see your boss.
What is your name?
Casey.
You have appointment with the master?
No.
Feda Narcy received no visitor except by appointment.
Will he receive me, big guy? Get out of my way.
Wait. Nobody pass Luki.
Luki?
Yes, master.
I will see the gentleman for a moment. What is it you wish, Mr. Casey?
So, you.
I am Feda Narcy. What do you wish?
Hasn't your crystal ball told you?
As the police have made some baseless insinuations that cannot be proven, I imagine you were about to do something equally foolish.
Yeah. I'm going to knock that grin off your face and your teeth along with
Luki.
It.
Yes, sir.
Take your hands off of me. Let me go, will you?
Luki, my devoted servant, is a Senegalese. They are noted for their skill in fighting. Luki, teach Mr. Casey that it will be very unwise for him to trouble us again.
It will be a pleasure, sir.
Splendid, Luki. Now pick Mr. Casey up from where he's fallen and throw him out the door.
Thank you.
story will continue in just a moment. Here's a bargain, a real bargain. A big 9.5-inch pie plate made of beautiful Fire King oven glass. Guaranteed for 2 years against oven breakage. Its highly polished surface is as smooth as a mirror. Comes clean almost instantly. It's as attractive on your table as it is sturdy and practical in your kitchen. And here's the most important point of all. This new kind of Fire King pie plate practically assures results every time. Its pale blue glass absorbs oven heat so evenly that your pies bake all the way through. The crust is light and flaky with no danger of scorching. Now, to get this new pie plate, it's not necessary to sit down and write a letter. Simply go to your favorite 5- and 10-cent store or any other store selling household glass and ask for the special Fire King oven glass pie plate being offered over the air at 25 cents or slightly more in distant cities. Remember the name, Fire King Oven Glass. This new Fire King Oven Glass pie plate is a product of Anchor Hawking. The most famous name in glass.
You're certainly a pretty picture, Casey. Two black eyes, a lump on your jaw.
You don't have to give me a bruise-by-bruise description of how I look, Ethelbert. I know
Ethelbert,
how I look.
Ethelbert, that big Senegalese prize fighter might have killed him.
Oh.
I know how you feel, pal, but you've gone at this thing all wrong. Rough stuff will get you nowhere.
That's great. You got any suggestions?
No. Captain Logan says there's nothing he can do, huh?
Well, what can the cops do unless they can prove that Nazi got Mr. Phelan's money and got it under false pretense?
Must be some way to get evidence.
Why doesn't Logan detail one of his dicks to pose as a sucker and pass this Nazi a couple of marked bills?
Well, that's been tried several times, but Nazi's too wise. Casey, I might be able to get the goods on Fader Nazi.
But you?
Yeah. No one would ever take me for a cop. I could go to Nazi and tell him I'd lost a sister, for instance. And I'd let him believe that I had some money, and he'd work his racket on me, and then I'd pass him marked bills, and we'd have him.
Sure, it'd be a cinch, Casey.
Oh, yeah. It'd be a complete bust, that's
what
it'd be.
Oh, now, why?
Do you think anybody gets into Narzi's joint unless he knows who they are and all about them, Annie? You see, it's part of his racket to have the lowdown on people who come to him.
Oh, you mean he'd look me up and find out I'm Ann Williams, who works for the Morning Express?
Yeah, he sure would. Say, wait a minute. I've got an idea.
Hmm? What?
Burke was telling me some of his recent family history a few days before I went to Detroit. He can give us the gimmick we need behind this thing.
Burke?
You're sitting editor?
Yeah. Boy, and will he do it when he sees it as the build-up for an exclusive feature story. Annie, come on. We're talking to Burke right now.
You're right, Casey. It's a natural. Williams, you'll check into an uptown hotel here tomorrow night as Marilyn Phillips of Portland, Oregon.
Which is the real name and home address of your wife's first cousin, right?
Yes, as Casey remembered my telling him, Marilyn lost her mother several months ago.
Where's Miss Phillips now, though, Bert?
Traveling in Mexico, so that'll be all right. She's about your size and coloring, Williams. I'll have my wife tell you enough about Marilyn Phillips tonight so that you can borrow her identity without any chance of a slip-up. When this Fader Nazi checks her, he'll think you're the real McCoy.
Well, how will I get to Nazi? I can't just walk up to his front door.
You get to him the same way Dad Phelan did. You go to Jameson's occult bookshop and become a steady customer. The old dame who runs the place is probably a shill for Nazi.
Oh, I get it. I pose as a grief-stricken daughter with money and let her and him do the rest.
That's the play. After you check into the hotel as Marilyn Phillips, you're not to come near this office, near your apartment, or with anyone you know, till this job's finished.
Wait a minute now, Burke. You mean...
I mean especially that she can't go anywhere near you, Casey. That'd give the whole show away.
Oh, I didn't think of that.
I'll see that you receive plenty of expense money, Williams. You report to me by phone. That's all.
She can talk to me by phone, too.
Well, what does she want to talk to you for?
Yes. Why should I?
Well, I thought I might be able to help or something.
Burke. We'll attend to everything.
Sure, Casey. I'll attend to everything.
Oh, that's just swell.
City desk, Burke speaking.
It's me, Burke. I'm getting acquainted with Mrs. Jameson, but she hasn't suggested I see our man yet.
You've only been on the job 10 days. This'll take time. Stick with it.
Casey, what on earth has happened to Miss Williams? It's almost 3 weeks since I've seen her in here.
Miss Williams is away, Ethelbert. And who cares?
Hey, you don't have to bite my head off.
You've been coming in here for over a month now, Miss Phillips. I feel that I know you well enough to offer a suggestion that may soften your great sorrow.
Well, the only thing that can help me, Mrs. Jameson, is if I could see my mother again or hear her voice.
Well, perhaps you can. I know a remarkable man, Miss Phillips. A man of almost miraculous powers. His name is Theda Narsy.
Sit down, Miss Phillips. Oh,
thank you.
I see things in the crystal ball. I see a lady there whom you loved very dearly.
My mother?
Yes. Her name was Alice.
The woman who sent me here must have told you that.
Be not hasty in your judgment, Miss Phillips. You were born October 4th, 1922. Your home was 47 Vista Road, Portland, Oregon. Your middle name is Celestine. Your mother's maiden name was McClintock. She's very close to you now, Miss Phillips. Very close.
Can you make me see her, Swami? Or hear her voice?
Later, perhaps. Come to me on Thursday next. In the meantime, I will pray that the one you love beyond the veil will speak to you and give you comfort. Go now. I'm very weary.
Yes, Swami. How much do I owe you?
Owe me? Hmm. Oh, my dear child, I make no charge for my services, ever. My mission in life is to serve mankind.
Oh, he merely gave you the old build-up today.
Yes, Burke. Of course, someone in Portland sent him the information about Marilyn Phillips and her mother.
Oh, Burge and his racket have contacts all over. Call me again after you see him Thursday. Goodbye.
Wait a minute, Burke.
Huh?
How's Casey?
In very bad humor. Goodbye.
Sit very still, Miss Phillips. The psychic force is strong in me tonight. I feel the spirit presence of one who has passed beyond.
You think, Swami, that my mother...
I cannot tell. I am sinking into trance. Hold my hands tightly. Look closely at the crystal, and soon you may hear the voice of the dead.
It's so dark in here.
Trance. I'm sinking into dawn.
Swami. That knocking. Something's knocking on the table, Swami, and it isn't you. Oh, that music. Where's it coming from? I'm afraid, Swami. I'm afraid.
Have no fear, my daughter.
That voice.
It is your mother's, darling.
Mother?
I'm with you, Marilyn, here. This good man has helped me make the journey from the land beyond. To bring you comfort.
I can't see you, Mother.
I have more to tell you, my dear. Now the force is growing weak. Trust this good man. Trust Theda Narsy, and I will come to you again through him. Come again, and I will have more to tell you.
Oh.
Swami Narsy. Swami Narsy.
What? Was it a success, Miss Phillips?
Oh, you don't know what happened?
I was in trance. I never know.
My mother talked to me. She said that she had more to tell me.
We shall assist her then. Come to me next Wednesday. Hold my hands tightly, Miss Phillips.
Yes, Swami.
I am sinking into trance. Sinking into...
Those knocks. And that music again. Mother?
Yes, my darling.
Come closer and let me really see you.
That is beyond my power, dear. I have but little time. I'm so worried about you, my child.
Worried about me?
I left you so little money when I passed behind the veil. You must have more, much more, and you shall have it. I will point the way. Tomorrow, take your money from the bank.
Take my money from the bank?
Give it to this good man, Faded Narcy. He will invest it for you. Invest it so it will be doubled, tripled in amount. When that is done, your mother will be happy.
You will tell Faded Narcy how to invest my money, Mother?
I shall guide his every action. And I know all things, dear. Through him, I will make you rich. Promise, darling.
Yes, Mother, yes. I'll bring Swami Nazi the money tomorrow.
Ah, you've made me very happy. I must leave you now, darling. I must go.
Oh, then the ghost voice faded out, huh?
Yes, Burke. And when Nazi snapped out of his trance, I told him I'd bring him $10,000 that Mother left me at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning.
I'll send you the money by messenger. Call me when you get it, and we'll check on the final plan.
Okay, Burke.
Goodbye. Well, Casey, tomorrow night will be the payoff.
Yeah?
Cops will be posted around the house before Williams goes in. When she comes out, the cops will take it as a signal, close in, get the Swami with those marked bills in his possession, and that's that.
There's also going to be a witness when that money is passed.
Who?
Me.
Why, you're the last guy in the world who could get into that house.
I've been casing that joint, Burke. There's a big window in Narcy's chamber with a strong trellis leading up to it. The window is painted black inside, but if Ann can get it open just a few inches...
You could see and hear what's going on.
And I can take a picture of Ann giving that rat the dough. I'll use an infrared bulb that shows no glare.
It'll make a swell shot for the paper.
And for evidence in court. Will you tell Ann to get that window open?
I certainly will. Leave it to Williams. She'll get it open somehow.
I've brought the money, Swami.
Oh, yes, yes, the money.
You'll return it to me and much more besides, as Mother said.
Miss Phillips, through spirit guidance, I have made many fortunes for other people. I am not interested in money myself.
Oh, there's $10,000 here. All I have.
Well, I will accept and invest it as a sacred trust.
Here.
Thank you. What was that?
I didn't hear anything.
We'll see. This window.
So, Mr. Casey.
Hello, Narcy.
Step off that trellis and into this room with your camera. As you see, I have a gun.
Yes, I see.
Now close the window.
Okay.
I am always alert for frame-ups.
Yes, the guy in your racket has to be.
You will give me the film you just exposed?
What good will it do you? I saw you take the dough.
Your testimony and that of Miss Phillips will be utterly valueless if the money cannot be found in my possession. It's quite obvious that I have been given marked bills, but they're easily destroyed.
Casey, if he destroys the papers, $10,000, I'll have to pay it back. I'll be in debt the rest of my life.
He won't destroy it.
Don't move, Mr. Casey. I shoot.
Now take the film from your camera and toss it into the copper bowl on this table.
Okay.
I place your marked money in the bowl with it.
Now strike a match, Mr. Casey, and burn them.
That gun makes you the boss.
Oh, Casey, when we tell Burke you burned the papers money...
It is very probable that you will not be believed. There will be a large suspicion that you kept it for yourself.
That doesn't bother me so much as the idea that you might beat this rap, Nazi.
I shall beat it. Now strike a match and burn that evidence.
Okay. Money and the film in this bowl beside your crystal ball.
Right at you, Narcy.
Knock the gun out of his hand.
Get it, Annie, quick. Look here, look here.
That big prize fighter.
Come here, look here, help.
That's the guy I want to see again.
Take this gun, you'll need it.
No, I won't.
Look here.
I am here, master. Hey.
You weren't expecting that crystal ball in your face, were you? Now, that'll hold you. Now, Swami Nazi, would you like to gaze into your crystal ball? Or can you guess what's going to happen?
Don't hit me. Don't hit me.
This is for Dad Phelan. This is for Annie. This one's for me. And now, Annie, you can bring in the cops.
We'll join the crowd at the Blue Note in just a moment. No wonder the new Anchor Glass one-way, no-deposit bottle is sweeping America. Think of all the extras it brings you at no extra cost. Extra number one.
It requires no deposit. No bother with pennies.
Extra number two.
You don't have to return it. No trouble with empties.
Extra number three.
It's light as a feather, easy to carry, a natural for picnics.
Extra number four.
It's sturdy and compact. Save space in the icebox.
Extra number five.
It's easy to open. Safe to drink from.
Extra number six.
It's at home on any table.
Extra number seven.
And brother, what flavor, that true brewery flavor that only Glass can bring you.
Yes, here's the bottle that makes beer and ale easy to enjoy. The Anchor Glass one-way, no-deposit bottle. For flavor that's brewery bright, demand beer in bottles. For safety and convenience, demand your favorite brand in the new Anchor Glass one-way, no-deposit bottle, product of Anchor Hawking. The most famous name in glass.
Cops got the whole gang of them, huh, Casey?
Yes, Ethelbert.
Mm-hmm, including Mrs. Jameson, the dame who also impersonated Narsy's spook.
That's swell, Miss Williams. And it's swell to see you around here again. I've missed you since you've been away on that case.
Oh, thanks, Ethelbert.
Yeah, that's right. We've all... Say, Annie, it's kind of a nice night. How about you and me taking a walk?
Why?
Well, just because it's kind of a nice night.
So long, Ethelbert.
So long, Ethelbert.
So long, Ethel. Okay. So long. As my sister Edna says, quote, absence makes the brain grow dumber. And a walk on a nice night may be dangerous business for an unmarried bachelor. Unquote.
Crime Photographer, starring Stotz Cotsworth as Casey, is brought to you each Thursday by the Anchor Hawking Glass Corporation, makers of Fire King Oven Glass. Anchor glass containers, Anchor caps and closures, all products of Anchor Hawking, the most famous name in glass. Photographer is directed by John Dietz. The original music is by Archie Blyer, and the program features Miss Jan Miner as Anne and John Gibson as Ethelbert. Herman Chittison is the Blue Note pianist. This is Tony Marvin saying goodnight for the Anchor Hawking Glass Corporation of Lancaster, Ohio, with offices in all principal cities of the United States and Canada. Thursday night on CBS is the biggest show in town. So stay tuned for exciting dramatizations on Reader's Digest Radio Edition, which follows immediately over most of these stations.
is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Wheaties presents Nightbeat. On stage tonight, transcribed from Hollywood, Nightbeat, another in the Wheaties big parade of exciting half-hour presentation. Nightbeat.
Hi, this is Randy Stone. I cover the night beat for the Chicago Star. My stories start in many different ways. This one began with an old man's fury and ended with the murder of a dream.
Night Beat, starring Frank Lovejoy as Randy Stone.
See how Wheaties at 7 can help at 11. Yes, sir, yes, ma'am. Get up in the morning and get real close to a bowl full of these little golden flakes. See if it isn't a wonderful morning, because Wheaties are fun to get up to. Bright, crisp, friendly little flakes of whole wheat. And they're fairly crackling with vitamins and minerals to help you work happy all morning long. Chew on some strawberries, or bananas if you'd rather. Pour on the milk, and you've got it. Breakfast of champions. Try 'em. See how Wheaties at 7... and help at 11.
It was one of those half-spring, half-winter nights. I tried to convince myself that the tingling in my toes was youth on the march, but it was only the stone corpuscles slowing up. So I'd almost decided to go back to the office and do a human interest story on the H-bomb when I noticed where I was. It was on one of those streets lined with cheap tenements. In front of one of them, a taxi stood at the curb. The driver was shaking his finger under the nose of an old man who shivered in his shirt sleeves. I moved closer.
I tell you, you ain't going no place, Pop. You run a bill of 6 bits. It's on the meter.
But I will pay you as soon as I can.
Sure, sure. 10 to 1, you ain't seen 6 bits in the last year.
But you must take me to where I want to go, you must.
You ain't getting back in my hack.
But you've got to take me. I am going to get...
Okay, I asked you nice.
Hey, go on, take it easy, both of you.
This ain't none of your business, mister.
I heard you arguing.
Please, it's getting late. I've got to go.
He ain't going in my cab.
Why not? What'd he do?
Now, look, since you stuck your nose in, okay, I'll tell you. He gives me a call when I'm cruising. I pick him up. He gives me an address. I get almost there, and he tells me to come here. Here.
Well, what's wrong with here?
Mister, look at this crummy joint. Look at the guy. No hat, no coat. He gets out, I ask for the 6 bits, and find out he's got no dough.
Oh? Is that right?
Yeah, but he will get paid. I will get some money.
Sure, he'll win a sweepstakes, but I can't wait.
Here. Here's your money.
You paying for it?
Yeah, I'll pay for it. That make everything all right?
I will give it back to you someday. I'll give it back. But don't let the driver
Pop, go. I got news for you. I'm practically in St. Louis. He's all yours, mister. You paid 6 bits for him.
No, make him wait. Make him...
Take it easy, Pop. Come on. Settle down.
He's gone and I didn't do it.
You live here?
Yeah, I had to come back for something.
Well, look, we better get you to your room. It's cold. You got no coat.
But I have to go. You see, I must kill Miss Gleason.
That's what he said. He had to kill Miss Gleason. But somehow I couldn't take him seriously. He looked too gentle and too human. Anyway, he let me take him up 4 flights to an attic room. He opened the door and he turned on the light. He hesitated for a moment, and then...
I'm sorry, there's no chair. That is one you can use.
Oh, forget it, Bob. Fine. You got a lot of stuff in here.
Yeah.
Paints, brushes, canvas, they're yours?
Well, yeah, you see, I paint.
Oh, an artist?
No, I'm afraid I'm not worthy of being called that.
But you did all these paintings.
Oh, yeah. Every one.
Mm-hmm. Ever sell any of them?
No.
Oh, I see.
No, you don't. I did paint them to sell. Painting became the only way I could speak. The world is not a very nice place sometimes. But I could change that by a bit of color. The stroke of a brush, the...
Gone.
I'm not mad, am I?
Well, that depends on how we define madness, Mr.
Weimann, Alfred Weimann.
You spent a lot of money on all this, Mr. Weimann.
Every penny.
And you didn't have 75 cents for that cab?
I would have paid him. He could have had a picture. Look, you take one. Here's one I finished just last night.
Well,
Do you like it?
Well, I'm no judge of art.
But you must be. You are the only person who has never laughed. Not like Miss Gleason.
Oh, yes, Miss Gleason. You remember what you said downstairs?
Yeah.
I don't think you meant it.
I did. Then, don't you see, Mr.
Stone, Randy Stone. Oh. Go ahead, what were you going to say?
I wanted to punish her. She had me discharged because I knew what she did. Only I knew it, Mr. Stone.
And what did she do?
She killed Vincent.
What's that?
I know she did. She killed him and put him in the basement.
What are you talking about?
That is why I wanted to kill her.
Why didn't you go to the police?
One would take my word against her. Look at me.
Where is she now?
Her home. I was going there.
To kill her?
Yeah.
Where does she live?
Why?
Well, I'd like to talk to her.
You don't believe me, do you?
Well, I'd like to get a few things straight.
No, please believe me. She killed Vincent. She'd say she didn't. But I know.
All right, Pop. All right. Now, if I go to see her, you've got to promise me you'll stay here until I get back.
Yeah. Yeah. I will wait.
All right, fine. Now, give me her address. Why didn't I go to the police? Well, with what? Wyman's story? I don't think I believed him then. But funnier things have happened to me, maybe because I looked for them. A half hour later, the clerk in a very shishi apartment hotel sent my name up with the urgent tag on it and the fact that I was from the Star. Yes, Miss Gleason would see me, and did.
Mr. Stone, may I see your credentials?
Why, sure. There you are.
I see. Just why are you here?
I told you. About Vincent.
I don't know of Vincent. And I
ever know anyone named Alfred Weimann?
Alfred Weimann?
Yeah, that's the name.
What has he got to do with this?
Everything. He told me about Vincent.
Why, he's mad. A lunatic.
Is he? Miss Gleason, when I first saw him, he was on his way here.
Here? He was coming here?
That's right. Now maybe you'd like to talk about Vincent?
Suppose you talk about him, Mr. Stone. You seem to know all about it. Wyman told you, didn't he?
You're a very cool person, Miss Gleason.
Do I have any reason to become hysterical?
Well, some people would think murder was reason enough.
You said murder?
Yeah.
Just exactly what did Wyman tell you?
That you killed Vincent.
And he tell you what became of Vincent?
Yeah. You put him in the basement.
And now that you have all the facts, what do you intend to do about it?
Well, call the police.
Oh, of course. That's the logical thing to do, isn't it? Well, Mr. Stone, there's the phone. Call the police.
You seem very sure that I won't.
Go ahead.
Well, thank you.
Oh, before you're connected.
Yeah.
Have you thought that all this may make you look ridiculous?
Meaning what, Miss Gleason?
Put down the phone, please, for a moment.
Now what?
Since you seem to have concerned yourself with this, you may as well continue. If you want to, that is. Do you?
What's on your mind, Miss Gleason?
I want you to come with me.
Where?
Are you afraid, Mr. Stone?
Of what?
Maybe of what you'll find out.
Well,
General Mills is bringing you Night Beat, starring Frank Lovejoy as Randy Stone.
You know, I wish I could stop in and see you folks. Oh, I wouldn't stay long, but I'd like to just step in with a box of Wheaties and open it up and pass them around. Do you know how good they are? Golly, my three-year-old eats them right out of the box like peanuts. There's a kind of nut-like taste to Wheaties, you know. It's the whole wheat taste. It's good. I suppose that's one reason why more people eat Wheaties than any other whole wheat flakes. Oh, they're awfully good for you, too, of course. There's whole wheat energy in every crisp little whole wheat flake. Vitamins, too. Minerals, too. Well, go ahead. Have your Wheaties and admit you eat them for the fun of it. Get yourself a package of Wheaties one of these days, like tomorrow. You don't have to stop and think, these are good for me. Just put on the milk and the strawberries and think, ah, this is real eating. That's Wheaties, breakfast of champions. Breakfast for you. Have some.
And now back to Night Beat and Randy Stone.
It was a strange ride in the cab with Miss Gleason. She watched me with a peculiar little smile on her face as though she were amused at a joke. There was no concern at all, just an icy coldness and a confidence that disturbed me. Then the cab pulled up in front of the address Miss Gleason had given. We got out and walked up a flight of marble stairs.
Surprised at coming here, Mr. Stone?
Bender Art Galleries.
There's a night bell there. Ring it. The night watchman will be here in a moment.
Well, what do we do here?
You want to see Vincent? Very well. Here's the watchman. It's Miss Gleason, Charles. Open the door, please.
You forgot something, Miss Gleason?
No, Charles.
Anything I can do, Miss Gleason?
This gentleman and I are going to the basement.
Basement?
Yes. Please turn on the lights down there.
Sure, Miss Gleason. They'll be on by the time you get there.
Thank you. Oh, Charles.
Yes, sir?
As soon as you turn them on, come into the basement.
Right away, Miss Gleason.
Well, Mr. Stone? Coming?
You first, Miss Gleason.
Certainly. This way. Lights are on. Shall I go first, Mr. Stone?
I insist, Miss Gleason. Everything all right, Miss Gleason?
Yes, Charles. Quite all right. Come along, Mr. Stone.
The stairs are kind of steep, mister. You're not used to them. You could fall.
I'll sort of watch my step.
You want me to stay, Miss Gleason?
For a moment, Charles. Well, Mr. Stone, what do you see?
The basement.
Anything else?
No, nothing.
You're not looking in the right place, Mr. Stone. Over there, to your left, on the floor.
What is all this?
Leaning against the wall.
That picture?
Go over and look at it. Can you read the signature on it?
It's a print.
A cheap print. But read the signature.
Vincent Van Gogh.
All right, Charles. That'll be all, thank you.
Yes,
Miss Gleason.
Now, Mr. Stone, do you realize how big a fool you'd have made of yourself if you'd called the police?
This is Vincent?
That is Vincent.
Why didn't you tell me before?
I wanted you to see it with your own eyes. You took Wyman's word against mine, believed him. I wanted to make you look and feel as ridiculous as this whole idiotic thing is. Now, good night, Mr. Stone.
I don't think so.
What?
He said you had him discharged, did you?
Yes.
Why? What's this Van Gogh print got to do with it?
He'd become a nuisance. An old fool.
All I saw was a pathetic old man.
Get out of here.
First, tell me why Wyman was fired.
He was a guard here. It was his job to see that people kept their hands off the paintings. But he'd become a nuisance. Yesterday, I happened to go into one of the rooms. Wyman was there, speaking to one of the customers. A thing he had absolutely no right to do.
No, please don't buy it, Mr. Evans. It is not good. It is cheap and tawdry. Look at the tricks he uses. Tricks! There's no depth. It is shallow.
Wyman!
Yes, Miss Gleason.
Please come here.
But I'm talking to Mr. Evans.
I was just leaving, Miss Gleason.
Mr. Evans, if you'll just wait, we'll talk about the Willoughby picture.
I don't think I want it now.
But, Mr. Evans, surely you don't think Wyman knows anything
about... I don't know, Miss Gleason. You seem to hit the nail on the head. Painting is shallow. Good day, Miss Gleason.
Wyman, how dare you?
I only did what I felt was right, Miss Gleason.
You meddling idiot. I've had enough of this. You come with me.
But, Miss Gleason...
Go on, go to Mr. Temple's office.
Yes, ma'am.
How dare you criticize a painter like Willoughby?
He? But he is not a good painter.
What do you know about it?
I know he's not good, and he doesn't feel what he paints.
Miss Gleason.
I've got to talk to you, Mr. Temple, about Wyman.
Wyman? Oh, not again.
Please, Mr. Temple, I did nothing.
He did nothing but keep Mr. Evans from buying the Willoughby.
Oh, ridiculous. Mr. Evans wouldn't listen to what Wyman has to say.
But he did. He knew what I was trying to say.
Mr. Temple, Wyman has made me look ridiculous for the last time. This is the last straw. I'll go to the board.
Now, Miss Gleason,
I'll not put up with it. And the board won't like to hear that the Willoughby hasn't been sold because this fool...
Miss Gleason, remember there's an exhibition of Willoughby's paintings tomorrow. We have enough to do without bothering...
Either this man is discharged or I'll resign and tell the board why. You seem to forget this is a business, Mr. Temple.
Are you worried about business or your own feelings, Miss Gleason?
Mr. Temple, I warned you. I'm going to the board.
Oh, wait. Wait a minute. Wyman.
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry, but I'm afraid Miss Gleason is right. We'll have your check for you this afternoon. You were warned several times.
I know, Mr. Temple. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Temple.
It was a distinct pleasure, Miss Gleason. Now, both of you leave me alone. I'm busy.
You had this coming, Wyman.
You think I care about the job, don't you? But I don't. I only care... But... Where is it?
Where is what? What's the matter with you?
The Van Gogh. The one I hung there.
You? You hung that cheap print?
What did you do with him? Where is it? What did you do with
it?
I
had it put in the basement.
You destroyed it. You killed Vincent. You and people like you. You laugh. You won't understand what a great man is trying to say with his art. You killed Vincent, and now you want to kill me because I understand. But you can't, and you won't. I will kill you first.
Martin! Daniel, come here, quickly.
You killed him because you couldn't understand him. You killed him.
Martin! Daniel!
I will kill
him. Get him out of here. He's crazy. Get him out! All there is to it, Mr. Stone.
Mm-hmm.
That's all, but what happens now?
How do you mean?
Well, to Wyman. You call him a lunatic, you know. Maybe he's not. Maybe he's just sick, but he can be cured by sympathy and understanding. Why don't you try those, Miss Gleason?
I don't care to discuss it anymore.
Just a minute. You know what he does?
No, and I care less.
He paints.
He paints?
Yes, every night. His room is filled with paintings he did because they made him feel good.
Masterpiece.
I don't know. I guess not, but that's not the point.
What is the point, Mr. Stone?
The point is he was lonely, and he made a world of his own, and he lived in it. He does paintings because they were his only expression. They took him out of a bitter and unfeeling world that rushed past him too fast for him to share in it. And maybe he's right, Miss Gleason. Maybe we did kill men like Van Gogh because we didn't understand or didn't want to. Admit just once that you understand and like something different. You've set yourself apart. You're a curiosity.
You're as mad as he is.
Well, thank you, Miss Gleason. I think that's the nicest thing anyone ever said to me. Good night. Oh, sure, it did me a lot of good to tell Miss Gleason off. It did Alfred Wyman a lot of good, too, but not much. I had to go back to his rooming house to tell him that he was mad and the rest of us were sane. I went up the stairs, but when I knocked at his door...
You're looking for Wyman?
Yes, I am. He's here, isn't he?
Not much, he ain't. I put him out.
You what?
Put him out.
When?
Oh, about an hour ago. You a friend of his?
Yes, I am. Why did you put him out?
I'll show you. Nearly burned down my house, he did. Look at this room. I ain't gonna get the smell out for days.
He burned everything.
Like as not, he'd have had us all roasted in our beds if I didn't smell the stink this stuff was made.
All of his brushes, his paints, his canvases. Why? Did he say why?
Mister, if you're a friend of his, you'll go after him with a rope.
I asked you why he did this. Did he say?
Sure. He said it was a joke. That it was going to be a big joke. And then I chased him out.
Joke? What did he mean? Could you understand what he meant?
Yeah, it's 2 a.m. Even if it wasn't, I couldn't make out what that loony was talking about.
Which way did he go?
Oh, up the street. He took something with him.
Never mind that. Do you know where he might be?
You know, Miss Gleason?
Gleason, yes. Why?
Well, he might have gone to see her. Because he said the joke was going to be on her.
I got to a telephone fast, found Miss Gleason's number, and called it.
Hello?
Miss Gleason?
Yes? Who's that?
Stone, Randy Stone.
What? Mr. Stone, I'd like to know...
Just a moment, listen to me. Are you all right?
Beyond the fact that I'm rapidly growing to hate you, I am all right, yes. Now, will you please...
Please, listen to me. I can't find Wyman.
Isn't that too bad?
I'm trying to tell you, he might be on his way to see you.
Me? Why?
Well, I don't know, but if he shows up there, you...
He won't get past the clerk downstairs.
Well, keep your door locked.
I usually do, and I look under the bed.
Please, Miss Gleason, this is serious, or it might be...
Are you trying to say that ridiculous old fool will try to harm me?
Yes. If you want it straight, yes. Did you hear me?
I certainly did, and I think it's nonsense. Now I'm going to hang up.
Miss Gleason...
I'm going to hang up, but before I do, there's one more thing. Please make a determined effort to live your life without me. Goodbye.
That click in the receiver was very final, and it made me feel a little foolish. After all, what could Alfred Wyman do? Killer? I didn't know, but what was his big joke, and when would it happen? At 3:30 in the morning, I gave up trying to find him. I went home, I fell asleep at 5:30, and I didn't wake up until after 11. And with daylight, it all seemed a little silly. But like the proverbial sore tooth, I had to bother it. I put in a call to Miss Gleason. She wasn't in her apartment. So I headed for the one place I hated to go to, the Bender Art Galleries. I had a funny feeling I'd learned something I didn't want to learn. There was a strange excitement there. People milled around, pushed together in little groups. I looked around for Miss Gleason. She wasn't there. And then I saw Charles, the night watchman. I went to him. Charles!
Yes, sir?
Oh, you're the man...
Yes, that's right, last night. Look, where's Miss Gleason?
Why...
Where is she?
Miss Gleason is in the basement.
Where's Mr. Temple's office?
Right there, sir. That door.
Thank you.
Of course. We're doing all we can now, and I'll let you know. Well, goodbye.
And Mr. Temple.
Yes? Oh, who are you?
Randy Stone, Chicago Star.
Well, there's nothing I can tell you now, so please wait outside with the other newspaper man.
Why, what's happened?
What's... Well, where were you?
Well, where's Miss Gleason? Where is...
Mr. Temple, I...
Ah.
You!
Oh, Miss Gleason, I never thought I'd be glad to see you, but I am.
Now, what the devil is going on, Miss Gleason? Did you...
Yes.
Did...
The Willoughby painting was in the basement. Someone took it there.
Well, in the basement? The Willoughby... Mr. Temple...
Thank goodness it's been found. If it had been stolen, well, who on earth put it in the basement?
If I tell you, will you tell me what's happened around here?
Don't you know?
What's happened here?
Well, we were to exhibit Willoughby's latest painting. But when I pulled aside the drapes... Well, just a moment. This was in its place. Instead of the Willoughby, this painting was hanging. Unsigned.
Mr. Stone, you seem to know more about this than we do.
Yes, I do. Mr. Temple, a man named Alfred Wyman played a joke on you. He painted this.
Wyman?
Yeah.
That miserable... Of course. He had a key. He could get in the back way before anyone...
It was a joke on you, Miss Gleason. Willoughby in the basement...
Where is he now? Where's Wyman?
I don't know. I left word to call me in case he's located.
But his painting...
It's a harmless joke.
A joke?
Yes. He burned everything else he had. Left this for you.
Oh, excuse me. Hello? What? Oh, yes. Yes, for you, Mr. Stone.
Oh, thank you. Hello. Yeah? What? Oh, all right. Thank you.
What is it, Mr. Stone?
That idiotic old man has made us a laughingstock with his daubing. He's got to be confined.
I wouldn't worry about that, Miss Gleason. He's dead.
Dead?
He killed himself. His body was found in the park this morning.
Well, I'm sorry, of course.
Yes, a bit of tears are running down your cheeks.
I had no idea he...
No, I guess not. Neither did I. Maybe you're not to blame, Miss Gleason. Maybe no one is. Maybe it was just a way of protesting against a world that gets a little smothering sometimes. If you don't mind, I'll go. I'll take this with me.
Wait, Mr. Stone.
Yeah.
Why do you want that painting?
Why? I don't know.
Is it yours?
No, I guess not, but it's the only one that...
leave it. I never wanted Wyman fired.
Now everyone's going to blame me. I was only doing...
Doing what you thought was right, yeah. Okay, well, maybe you were. Let's forget it.
Well, I can't, Mr. Stone. You see, it wasn't so much the disappearance of the Willoughby that disturbed me. It was this painting.
This painting? What about it?
It's great, Mr. Stone. Truly great.
Well, it was a big joke, all right. But on whom? Was it on Wyman himself? I think not. On us? Well, isn't it always? It's a joke that's been going on for years and years and will never stop. It's played 1,000 times and we never learn to dodge the gag. We never see it coming. The joke that we never appreciate the sane people until it's too late. Copy, boy.
You are listening to Nightbeat on the Wheaties Big Parade.
Say, Frank.
Yeah, what is it, Frank?
Every time I did the commercials today, you were grinning at me. What's up?
Well, nothing, but you seem to be having so much fun doing the Wheaties commercials, I'd kind of like to try it sometime.
Fine, Frank, go right ahead.
Well, I can't do it like you, but all I know about Wheaties is they taste good and I like them. What is it makes them taste so good, Frank?
Well, I guess it's the whole wheat in Wheaties. Why, if you'd stand out there in a wheat-filled field soaking up that good sunshine, I bet you'd...
Yeah, I know. I'd get sunburned.
Well, you know, as a matter of fact, Wheaties are toasted, too. Makes them crisp, gives them kind of a nut-sweet taste. That's one of the reasons you like Wheaties so well.
Well, you're probably right, but, you know, like I say, all I know about Wheaties is they taste good and I like them.
That's what just about everybody says about Wheaties, Frank. That's exactly why Wheaties are America's favorite whole wheat flakes.
Nightbeat, starring Frank Lovejoy, is produced and directed by Warren Lewis and edited by Larry Marcus. Tonight's story was written by Russell Hughes with music by Frank Worth. The part of Wyman, who was played by Ann Wright, Jeanette Nolan played Miss Gleason. Others in tonight's cast were Wilms Herbert, Martha Wentworth, and Larry Dobkin. Listen next week at this time and every week as Randy Stone searches through the city for the strange stories waiting for him in the darkness.
And this is the Wheaties man, Frank Martin, inviting you to listen also on Tuesday, that's tomorrow night, to the Penny Singleton Show on the Wheaties Big Parade. See you then.
Nightbeat came to you transcribed from Hollywood.
That's going to wrap it up for another episode of Case Closed. I'll be back next Wednesday with more. In the meantime, you can find past episodes and more old-time radio at relicradio.com. There's also links there to everything else. Our forum, Shoutcast Stream, Facebook, Twitter, and our donate button. If you'd like to help support this and all the shows, help keep them going. Do so from the website as well. Thank you very much to those who have, and thank you for joining me today. Be back next Wednesday with another episode of Case Closed. Case Closed is produced by and for RelicRadio.com. Rebroadcast of this show without permission is strictly prohibited.